Hey, it's Jenny. Don't skip ahead. I have some treats for my loyal receipts listeners.
But what kind of treats?
Okay, just wait. You're going to be obsessed. Stickers, t-shirts, and most importantly, a panel of comedians that will update your dating profile. We're going to find you love, but you have to promise that Andrew and I can give a speech at the wedding. All you have to do is go to refer.fm/receipts and share the podcast with your friends, families, exes, and especially your crushes. Again, that's refer.fm/receipts to get your prizes today. I am fully vaxxed.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
First vaxxed person. First
vaxxed. First in the entire world, me. I am patient zero of the Pfizer vaccine.
Wow.
How
do you feel? Do you feel any different?
My arm hurts a little bit. And I have to say that the man in the Air Force who gave me my first vaccine, hot, sweet, sang Moana, loved him. The guy in the Air Force who gave me my second vaccine dose, not as big a fan. I was trying to make small talk by being like, so I found out that not everyone in the Air Force knows how to fly planes. And he was like, yeah.
Well, yeah, you led with that, like calling them out. Like,
no, I was like, what do you do? Do you know how to fly a plane? And he was like, no. And I'm like, okay, cool. What do you do? Whatever. And then he was just not into it. Already hates me because I called him out for not flying a plane, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, relax, when he like grabbed my shoulder. And then he stuck the needle in kind of hard.
Oh.
It was really aggressive.
Whoopi said on The View that it doesn't hurt. So
it didn't hurt.
Didn't go to that guy.
The sweet guy who sang Moana to me the first time, it didn't hurt at all. It was really nice. And then this today, it was like a little jab. But I think he might hate me. So
do you think he still thinks about you as much as you think about him?
Probably not. But I would like to think that, yeah. I would like to think
maybe he's talking about you on his podcast.
He could have told me that he had a podcast. I was just trying to make small talk.
Yeah.
I would have appreciated him saying, I have a pod. I don't fly, but I pod.
I don't fly, but I pod.
Yeah, something. That would have been good.
Trade-off. Yeah.
But no, nothing. Just a little jab in the arm. But honestly, that jab in the arm was so – I loved it. I needed it. I wanted it. I'm so happy to have had it. So
wait, so like for those of us who have not been vaxxed yet, how, like what would you compare that jab to? Like a punch to the arm? Like what?
No, not like a punch. But okay. It felt a little bit like not as bad as getting an ear pierced, but like kind of like that. Like I really did feel the needle going in.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I don't want to scare you because I know you don't like needles and I do want you to get the vaccine.
Yeah. I'm an anti-vaxxer just because I hate needles.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I do want you to go get it though. So I'm going to say that it was just this one guy who detests me and wants me to die. It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, it was him.
I'll try to find the person who was singing Moana.
Yeah, at Brooklyn Medgar's College. There's whoever's singing Disney. That's the one. You got to get him.
That's the one. Okay.
And then this is my receipt of the week. So I texted my dad this morning and I said, I have the full vax! Exclamation point. Then my dad replies to me, great, period. Don't go crazy.
I think that's good advice.
Okay. What do you think he thinks I'm going to do? I'm like not going to just start – now that I have the vax, I'm not going to like do cocaine off of a dirty bathroom. Like what does he think
We know people that are.
I know, but I'm not flying to Mexico today. I got my vax. I'm not on a plane.
You're not flying similarly to the guy who gave you your second vax.
No. Yeah. I'm not. Just like him, I also am not on a plane. Right. Yeah, I'm not doing that. So I really don't know what I feel like my dad was being shady.
Well, I mean, like are you thinking about like leading your life a little bit differently because of this or?
Yes, but only in small ways. I want to hang out inside with my friends who had the vaccine. I would like to do that. I want to play board games. That's all I'm asking to do. It's not going crazy. It's a board game.
I have three board games right in front of me right now.
Right? And we could play them because now I'm vaccinated. I want to hug my dad. I want to give him a hug. I'm like, that's not crazy.
Don't go crazy.
Don't go crazy. I just want to give him a nice little squeeze. And then I also would be interested in performing in bars again. I want to perform stand up in bars. I want to do a show at Union Hall, and I feel confident and comfortable to do that now that I'm vaxxed. Namaste. Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're projecting things for the future. I love it.
None of those things are crazy though.
I don't think they're crazy.
Right? None of those things are crazy.
Well, he just doesn't want you to go crazy.
Okay. And
you can just reaffirm him, hey, not gonna go crazy.
I said I won't. I just replied, I won't, exclamation point. That was it. That's the combo.
Oh,
wow. Can you believe? He also told me, okay, so I interview him every week. I'm just interviewing my dad because we have time right now and I love hearing his stories. So I'm recording them on Zoom. And he told me this week that when I was born, he didn't want to see me come out of my mother. He was like, I had to stay on the other side because I was too scared to see it. And then I asked him if I was cute and he said, no. He said, newborn babies are not cute. I was like, oh, so I wasn't cute. Okay.
I hope that he thinks you're cute now.
Yeah, I was like, did I get cute? I was like, when was I cute? And he was like, I don't know. Sometime a few months in.
Wow.
I know. My dad, I love him, but I don't think he's not as into babies as I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Do you have any receipts?
I do. I have receipt advice for you, Jen. I'm not giving advice. I'm asking.
You're asking for advice. Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. So I have been a little busy lately. And there have been a few people that have like reached out and they're like, hey, let's hang out. Mm. And like, instead of just being like, no, I sometimes like just ghost and I feel bad.
Oh.
So I was looking for like receipts for you right now. And I was like, oh, I never responded to someone over the weekend that was like, hey, let's do this thing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I should have.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I understand that though. I think it gets really overwhelming because there's a lot of anxiety right now, especially because of the pandemic. So it makes sense not feeling up to responding to every text and also not wanting to go on every plan that is presented to you. But I agree that it's good to respond. And I think you can explain why. I don't think you have to be mean about it, but you could be like,
I can still explain now.
I think you can be like, hey, sorry, I didn't respond before. I was feeling kind of overwhelmed this weekend, or I was feeling anxious this weekend. And then like set the parameters for how you would like to hang out if you do want to, or if you don't want to, figure out a different thing to say. Like, you know, so either like, I'd love to see you, these parameters, or I'm not really seeing people, I don't know, inside. I'm not really seeing that many people right now.
Yeah.
Can we range back? Okay. That's my opinion. What do you think?
I just feel like, oh gosh, because like, I feel like I've done this like a number of times in the past where I'm like, oh, sorry. Not like a just seeing this, like I don't do that, but like I'll do like, hey, sorry for, you know, not acknowledging it in a timely manner.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done that so many times that it's like, okay, I've, you know, it's like the free punch card, you know?
like you should get a free coffee right now for how many times you've done that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think it's better. I prefer that. Like if I text someone to make plans and they don't respond to me, I prefer that they tell me that they're just not feeling up for it for whatever reason. Because I think it's like mental health is such a real issue that we have to acknowledge.
Yeah. I know with the weather getting nicer out, I feel like a lot of people are just like, hello, Andrew, I want to hang out with you. And I'm just like, all in good stride, I will eventually.
But yeah, if you don't feel up to it right now, I think that's okay. And that doesn't mean you don't like this person.
No, not at all. I'll make time for them.
You will make time, but you'll just make it when you feel up for it. And we had a busy, kind of stressful weekend, so.
It was a little cuckoo crazy.
It was a little cuckoo crazy, so it makes sense to me.
But we found some time to to convene, and maybe we shouldn't have, but
okay,
I don't know.
That's fine. But also, you don't need to say on the podcast in case this person that you said you didn't want to see this weekend is listening that we went for drinks.
Oh, no, because it was more like we did. I felt bad because at the end of this little like meetup that we did have on Saturday, you did say at the end, like, oh my God, all we talked about was work. And I was like, oh, that's true.
Oh, but that's okay. I mean, we're business babes.
Business brats.
We're little business brats. We had a lot of work to talk about.
And so, if anybody's listening that I stood up, ghosted, and or whatever, I, you know, this meeting with Jenny was a business.
It was a business meeting. And it we can put it on our business expenses for our taxes. So
yeah,
ultimately,
I didn't pay. Yeah.
No. I'm very excited about our guest today. Speaking of people that I like a lot and want to see, you know, he is hilarious. He hosts a very funny, wonderful podcast called Asian Not Asian. Everyone, this is Mike Wen. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for that. I love being introduced. I wish that we would introduce each other like the old times, you know, when we meet, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I never met Andrew before, I'd be like, ah, yes, hello. I want you to meet my amazing friend. You're going to love him. Give it up right now for Andrew. Like, and I just do that to like a regular person, you know? Just on the street. That's how we do it. Like, you know, like it's 19th century, so like comedy style. I love it.
I like to do a kind of extra introduction for my guest on a podcast. I don't know if that's normal or not.
I think it makes perfect sense.
We allow it? Okay.
I think so. And I think, you know, it's all those like comedy instincts that we have, you know, to like hype someone up right before they come on. And I'm like, you see me running on stage. Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up, jerks? You guys fucking? Something like that.
I do feel like, Jenny, there were a few things like missing from your introduction for our guest, because like, obviously we're talking before the pod recording that it's a beautiful camera.
Okay,
I've never seen someone arrive in a Zoom call with this high definition of a camera, a crane microphone, if you will.
There you go.
Fireplace.
Oh, yes,
fireplace.
All my stuff
and an armoire.
Me.
Mike looks hot right now for everyone who's listening. You can't see him, but you could on YouTube if you hit up YouTube right now. The whole episode is up there too.
This is what I love about 2021, you know? And Asian guys are hot now. So, you know, what's
Asian
good?
Asian guys have always been hot.
We have been always hot, you know?
So always. It's,
yeah. It's just now I can put it into my IMDb credit, you know, hot guy.
Okay.
So. Yeah, but no, I'm so glad to be on here. So, you know, I've been checking out the pod and loving it and just love. I just love like conversations like this. So I think it's great.
Amazing. Me too. I love gossiping. And
yes.
The hot gossip about you is that you're married and boring now.
I'm so boring. Yes, I'm married and it's a fun, I don't know. I think it was fun. It was very long. I haven't been married that long. I've been only married like 3 years, but I've been with my wife for, say what years, okay, so like 13 years or something.
Oh my god,
12 years or something like that. Yeah,
wow.
We've been together a while. Yeah, and I've known her easily more than 20 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, I've known her that a very long time.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So fully a married man on the podcast. I think our first ever married man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yes.
I'm very excited about it. I did mention before we started recording that I love marriage. So
oh, you do? Why?
I do.
Really?
I love marriage. Yeah. Because I
feel, okay. Go.
I had the whole like, you know, little girl dream of it, you know, as a kid. I used to do like play pretend weddings. I love the thought of wedding planning because I love parties. So I buy into any movie with a big wedding dress moment. I love that.
Yes.
Obsessed with rom-coms. So I love the idea of marriage and weddings. And I personally think I'm a very monogamous person.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. I'm really not interested in the stress of having more than one person. No, thank you. I just think there's one person that I'm just going to be like, yep, that's it. And then I'm like, they better be obsessed with me and I don't want to know about anybody else. Ever.
Yes. Okay.
Ever again.
That's good. I mean, it's hard for me to tell sometimes about, because, you know, I live in Brooklyn and a lot of my friends are comedians and Brooklyn comedians and, you know, people who are on TikTok a lot. And I can never, I never know, like, I always feel like, oh, you know, none of us are ever married to each other. We're all married to the earth, you know? Like, I'm just like, I don't know what does that mean? I don't know, you know? So, but I mean, you know, I get it. And I mean, I also love parties. Like, I had a really small wedding that, you know, it was everything I always wanted it to be. It was
really?
My idea. I was really the one who really wanted to get married. My wife was sort of like, whatever, we're ready together. She had already kind of resigned herself. And so she's like, whatever, we're already married. But you know, I was like, no, we got to do it this way. We're going to have this big party and do it our way. And it was exactly what I wanted it to be. It was swaggy. I wanted okay. swag like a motherfucker. That's what I hate. I hate corny weddings.
Ugh. Oh, me too. Oh, my God. Okay. So what are the main ways that your wedding can be corny? This is important.
Oh, God. You know,
what are my thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Children. Okay. Children make weddings corny.
Yo, I didn't know that.
No kids at the wedding.
I didn't know that for a while you could have weddings where it was like no children or something like you could put that in the invitation. It was like for only adults. I didn't know. I feel that was a kind of a newer thing, but it's a great move. We did have some kids at our wedding, but it was okay. I mean, they were like, you know, our niece and nephew. It was like very close mm-hmm. kids and they were going to be okay. I don't mind getting drunk in front of them, you know? So okay. Yeah.
Kids with swag, as Andrew yes. said. Swaggy
You know, like I feel anything where, you know, like a performance where you're walking down the runway, walkway and style? You do like a fun performance, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like a choreographed dance. No, thank you.
Yeah. You know, I've seen it done well and I've seen it done bad. So, yeah.
If the year was like 2011, would it be okay? Like a dance down?
If it was 2011... And it was only that one time. Yes, then it was okay.
Only that one time.
That one viral right. video was okay. Everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, to right, Bruno okay. Mars, that I think I want to marry you. That was it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it was like Dynamite.
Or Dynamite.
Was it? Oh, was it? No. It might have been. I can't remember what it was.
I forget.
There's
yeah.
a Betty Who proposal. I remember that being huge.
Betty Who proposal. Betty Who
that's
proposal.
Another one. Corny, really elaborate proposals. My proposal wasn't great, but I've also seen ones where it's like, okay, we're all going to have all these guys come out and dance, and it's like all their friends, and they clearly can't dance, but they were practicing really hard in the garage. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I used to dance, like, on, you know, a street team, like, you know.
Really?
When I was a kid, yeah. And,
cool.
Yo, you got to hit the marks, everybody, okay? I just hate it when people are imprecise with the choreography.
Yeah, crazy. No one wants to see that. And especially not if you're asking to wed me.
Yes.
The very least you could do is have the dancers in like prime form yeah. hitting the fucking beats.
Yes, yes, yes. Hire some dancers, okay?
Yeah.
They need the money.
Yeah, so. I don't want to see my aunt dancing. No, thank you.
yeah.
Send exactly. her back to New Jersey. No, thank you.
I don't want to see this in Avengers. Yeah.
I don't want to see that at all. So what was your proposal? That wasn't good?
It was okay. The trick with proposing in New York City is that it's impossible to be alone in New York City. Like, I think. Okay. It's like we lived with a roommate at the time. So I couldn't even do it at home, like at our apartment, like unless mm-hmm. we were like in our bedroom, which I thought wasn't, you know, it was super cramped in there. We just didn't have any privacy and I couldn't take her to like I'll take you to a really nice restaurant and do it. Cause then there's people in the restaurant, right? And you can't do it there. And I didn't want to I was trying to do it where I didn't make a scene. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing it like, you know, I walked with her to work. At the time I didn't have I worked at home, so I was like, oh, I'm going to walk you to work. And I used to do that all the time. And I kind of like did it then, you know, as our walk to work. But okay. there were still kind of people there. And like, I was just like, oh, there's still people. There wasn't like a lot, but there was like this, it was like, there was this one group of like five or six women who were clearly in like a tour group.
Okay.
You know, and I think we made yeah. their day, you know, they're like, oh
yeah,
my
I'm
God,
sure you,
you know. But I was like, God damn it. You know, so it was cool. It was cool, but I was like, I really wanted it to be private, and
yeah.
it was just so hard to do. It's impossible to be private in New York City. So
what block was it on? Do you know what street?
Oh no, I know block? Exactly. It was it's in the Meatpacking.
Okay.
It's there's you know where there's a corner where it's all cobblestone and there's some mm-hmm. tables that the yeah. city put out.
Yeah,
it's there. It was there, and it would have been a good timing because that. They were like redoing some work there. So there were actually no tables there. And I thought it was going to be really quiet, but it was not that quiet, even though it was like really early in the morning. So, yeah.
Did you go down on one knee?
I did. I did that. And I remember as I was going down on the knee, I was like, what if she says no? Like, it finally dawned on me. I was like, oh my God, what if she actually just is like, nah? And I was like, fuck, you know?
And then you're literally on the pavement, just on the cobblestone streets of Meatpacking.
Yes, with a little tour bus of people going by watching me get rejected. I was like, fuck. Yeah, but I did that, and then I didn't. I remember also I didn't script what I was gonna say because I had I was like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian. I could think on my feet. No, terrible idea. Just I was like, this is the worst time to try to figure out crowd work. I just like completely botched it. You know, I mean, I told her I love her and everything, and
that's
I did surprise her. That was the thing. I did surprise her. She didn't know it was gonna happen.
Did she cry?
She did later, like as she was like telling, because we called some people, and that was nice. And and I had arranged it so that she didn't have to go to work that day. So that was nice. Next
day off.
Day
off of work.
Yeah, and I was just like, so, and we're like, hey, well, you know, so then that was the fun part, really, because then we had a day where we could hang out, and she went to get her nails done. Okay. And
yeah,
I was like, all right, this is
ring photos.
Exactly. So that was cool. We sat in the park and called all of our family and friends in beautiful Madison Square Park. And we had a drink after. And then we had you know, a little happy hour to celebrate. And we had like a then we had like a fancy dinner after that. And it was just
that day
was really cool. Yes, that was a really great day. And I got her the ring she wanted. She has a
she has a
Cartier like a panther ring. And
so
I poured all my money into it. And she's also not a corny person. She hates like corny diamonds, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Oh, you got this from your grandmother. Forget that. You know, I don't want that. I want Cartier.
She wants her own thing. She wants Cartier.
Exactly.
I love that.
So that was
great. And she picked it out. So she knew she was getting engaged.
I don't know why men think they can pick out a ring. You wouldn't trust a guy to pick out socks.
No.
Why would you? Hell no. Why would you go in jewelry?
Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-mm. I'm not. Yeah. And it's going to be expensive, baby. I don't
yes.
want you to buy like a couple $1,000 something that I hate. Dumb.
No, we looked a lot. And I didn't think it made it less romantic. I thought, you know, it made it better because it was just like, you know, everything was falling into place. So it was really cool.
That's so sweet. And you knew each other maybe for 20 years, you said? So how
at that time we had no we met each other in college. We knew each other in college, so we were just friends for like a long time. I was like fully in the friend zone, which was cool. I was like, this is tight, you know. I was like, yo, I got a couch here, it's sick. And I was like legit like totally fine being her friend. You know, we flirted. It was fun flirting.
Sure.
But you know, nothing ever happened. And then she decided to move to New York because she wanted to you know, kind of pursue her career. And I was like living it up in the Bay Area. I don't know if you know any Bay Area guys, but like Bay Area dudes.
I know a magician, Mike. So
okay,
I don't know.
That's exactly right. Bay Area dudes, we could, now it's different because of the tech thing, but like you could be a Bay Area guys have a tendency, not all of them, but they have a tendency to just become just like bozos is what I call it. Just like dudes who like are really too into their fixed gear bicycle.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm starting a mustache club or something.
Right.
You know, like
I want to build a tiny house and get imperfect produce.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like a big shield for being a bum. Just like someone without aspirations. And I was becoming that, I could tell. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta move. And I was like, I'll come to New York too, and I'll give this a shot and all that stuff. So that was, in retrospect, a lot of pressure. But I did it. So we came out there like a year later. So we were long distance, and then we came out. And, yeah.
So you were just friends. She moved to New York. At a certain point, when you were far away on opposite coasts, you decided that your flirting was actually something.
Oh no! Yeah, we right before she left. I was like, we were hanging out more, and then we started like seeing each other, you know, we like things
so
were happening.
Up?
So yes, exactly. So yes, that's right. And, you know, we didn't know if that was going to be something or not, but we knew that she was leaving. So when she left, it was kind of like, we didn't know. Right. But we were still calling each other a lot and like, you know, all that stuff. We, never said we were like, okay, we're definitely going to do it. But we didn't also say, okay, we can't talk to each other or like we need some space now. We didn't do that either. So we're kind of like in between. And then also for me, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to become one of these Bay Area bozos. So I was like, I got to get out of here.
Then,
yeah. So it was, again, a lot of pressure, I think. But, you know, I came out there anyways. So
because your relationship isn't defined at that point. And did you move into your own apartment, or did you?
No, so I moved in with her, and for a little while. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that seemed to be okay. You know, it could have really blown. I mean, again,
yeah,
like
that
I was
bad.
I was in my like my mid-20s. You know, when you're mid-20s, you're like, you think about 14 seconds ahead of what is happening right now. So,
well, that's what boys who are 25 do.
Yes,
sure.
Yes,
Andrew,
exactly.
Sorry, I mean that about you. It's not Andrew. You.
Very, yeah, as a 25-year-old male, wow.
It's not you, babe. But we've said it on the podcast, and I'll say it again: men at 25, their brains aren't fully formed yet.
Yeah, I was it was real mushy, and I was very optimistic, and also, I don't know, this is ridiculous. So, but you know, again, you know, I came out here, hadn't even started comedy or anything. I didn't know that that I wanted to do that. I just came out here to kind of like try different things, try to be creative. Person. And yeah, so I lived with her for a little bit, and then I found my own place in Brooklyn. Okay. And then, you know, I lived away for a while, and then after a couple of years of that, where I was like at her place all the time, she was at my place all the time, and I was like, we should just move in together. And so I just moved right back into the apartment that I had
the
left.
Place where you lived when you first moved.
Yeah. So funny. And all my a lot of my stuff was there, so it was like the easiest move ever. And so that's so wild. We kept that going, and we lived it was in the city. We lived in the city in Manhattan, so we did that.
And you never broke up during any of this time? No period of breakup?
No, we just kind of like kept rolling. Yeah, it was you know, amazing. We definitely had like, you know, like extended fights, I guess you could call it. Yeah, we had like things like that. It wasn't like super, it wasn't smooth. You know, don't they say it was like roses and shit. It was a lot of work, is what I would say. I know people always say it's a lot of work, but it really is. It's like a complete change in your thinking, like how you should think about a relationship. And that was it. And she would say the same thing. So, I mean, I'm sure she's actually worked much harder than I have on it. And yeah, so anyways.
Women are always doing the emotional
labor. Yes, exactly. My brain was just like just solidifying.
Finally becoming a real curvy brain.
I was losing my tail. I was like, I was getting the whole object permanence thing. I was like, this is cool. Mm-hmm. So when I can't see it, it's still there. Okay, that's interesting. That's tight. Keep going. And then I was doing comedy and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely, you know, definitely like rough patches and stuff like that. But like now we're like in a, you know, I would say a couple years ago, even like right before we got married, we kind of like got into the thing where we knew when we were going to start fighting. Like it's almost like you knew a migraine was coming on and you can take steps to kind of mitigate it. So one of the big ones, for example, is if we felt a fight was coming on, the other person would throw a snack at that person, like an actual packet of food, because being hungry it sounds dumb, but that Snickers commercial is so right. If you just stop and just eat the snack, and then go, yes, because then you go, okay, you know what? I was getting upset because I'm like, we're getting into a thing where we're, you know, and on top of that, I'm hungry, and it just, you know what I'm saying? That's, and it just takes it down notch, just a little
literally
bit.
Throwing like a pack of pretzels at you.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, I'm feeling disrespected, and then like, boom, a little like strawberry or something will hit me in the face. I'm like, okay, I'll eat this.
Okay, I'll eat this. And it goes, and I'll be better.
It's really what it is. It's like, I don't know if you're into things like CBT, like cognitive behavioral therapy, things like that. There's like little steps you can do, which help you just reframe your mind, and almost it's like mindfulness where you're like, I know I'm upset at something. And in general, people turn it on on the person, and they go,
the
I'm upset
person.
At you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm mad at you for something. When actually you're like, I'm mad that I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mad that I'm afraid. I'm mad that I'm vulnerable or whatever. And you have to kind of like know that that's happening. And she, you know, she knows and I know, and we can do this thing where we still fight, but it's we just know each other's thing. We're like, okay, you're not mad at me. You're mad that like I'm annoying, you know, which is totally fair. That's but that's
like
a different thing.
Yeah, I'm annoying. Yeah.
I'm annoying.
Sometimes
I get it.
I'm annoying. And here are some Cheez-Its. Like, let's talk it out.
Cheez-Its have saved people. They can save people's marriages. Cheez-Its, man. I'm telling you. Keep some Cheez-Its in your car. Okay. Anyways.
Oh my God, we should call Cheez-It and tell them that. That's their new,
I got your new campaign. That should be their new campaign. Yeah. Are you about Cheez-Its to get divorced?
Your marriage.
Yeah, here's some Cheez-Its. Okay, think about
here's
it.
Here's some Cheez-Its. Think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so silly. I want to know before we have moved too far past it.
Okay.
How your friend zone, how you got out of the friend zone.
Oh.
How did that first hookup happen? Was it drunk? I'm like, it's usually drunk in my experience, but I want to know.
I think we were definitely drinking. I think getting out of it is a function of getting a better haircut. And because I had I look at these old pictures of myself and I thought I could like pull off this faux hawk. Again, this is really? Like 2008. Okay, so hey, oh leave God. Me alone. And I was like, no, I could not pull it off. And I decided to shave my head and like just like buzz it, which is it's the hair I have now. And you know, that it's just like it's just it, I just look a lot better, you know, in it. And then on top of just like I think I don't know, I think too that you know, part of me says like the friend zone kind of doesn't exist, and then part of me says it does. And I think the way to get out of it is I think with me and her, I don't know, I'm trying to think about exactly, because I do remember like having a talk with her. I was like, hey, we flirt a lot, do you think something's going on? And she's like, nah, we're just flirting. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So but I think getting out of it was just like, just I don't know, tenacity. I don't know, you know, okay. Just like
perseverance.
Just like, hey, yeah, just like, hey, you know, it's cool. We can hang out and everything's fine. And I was really okay with being in the friend zone until I wasn't. If that makes sense. So then I was like, oh man, something's going on here. And I just kind of kept chasing that feeling, you know.
And you got a good haircut, and you're like, look.
Good haircut, and that's a huge thing because I was goofy. I was goofy before, man. I had bad eyeglasses. Now I have good eyeglasses. And that,
yeah, you
like
look
that.
Good. We've Thank already you. Said it. You look
yeah,
really
that's,
good.
Yeah, exactly. I got, you know, get a better lens on your webcam. That's one of them. You know,
that could be a big deal. Life-changing.
Yeah,
I mean, I love that. All of our listeners are just gonna start. They're all gonna go out and book a hair appointment now. They're like, I gotta get out of the friend zone.
You know, it's yeah, absolutely, all that stuff, you know, like the goofballs that are just out there, all the straight male goofballs who are out there just with their basic haircuts, you know, and their bad skin, you know, shit like that. So
yeah, wash your face and maybe you can leave yes. the friend zone.
Wash your face.
Yeah, yeah, learn about moisturizer and maybe things will change for you.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so funny.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price line.
So I love it. So you've been dating for a long, long time.
Yes.
/ married now for 3 years.
Right. Yes.
Has being married changed anything about your lifestyle or your relationship?
I would say the marriage stuff, no. From like, yeah, there's no change like internally, I guess. Like between me and her, sex is the same. It's always been the same. The honestly, the only weird part, the only change was that now I call her my wife, which in my mind, like, ages her up so much. And, like, same thing when she, no, this is my husband. And I'm just like, who's that? Who are you talking about?
Yeah,
like, I should have, like, a pot belly or something. And,
right,
like,
who's
be
that
obsessed.
Old man you're talking about?
Right.
I know him.
Right. I'm looking for a good deal on VCRs, you know? So that's me. But, you know, so that's the only thing. I remember when I was calling her that. Well, now I'm used to calling her that. And actually, sometimes I like calling her my partner because then it makes it sound like we're still young. Hey, she's my partner. It's cool, you know?
Very cool. Very chill. Very chill. Urban area. Yeah.
Yeah. It's chill. We're chill, you know? But like when I call her my wife, it's like suddenly she becomes like a Russian like grandmother who's like, where are you? You know, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
my wife's calling me back. You know?
She's making you blintzes and pierogies at home.
Yes. Which, hey, man, that's why I stay home, because she makes me those dumplings. And I'm like, girl, got the dumplings.
Is she a good cook?
Yes. We're both. Yes. She's really good at that. we both love eating. That's a big thing. She's mm-hmm. Korean American. I've talked about this on my podcast before, but like, it's nice to be with someone who, if you go, you want to eat rice today? They go, yep. What else would we eat? And they go, yep. And it's just like, that's just how we roll. We're Asian people. We eat rice every fucking day and it's not a problem.
Yum.
You know, eating is really, it's like one of those things that you just got to spend time with them in order to keep the relationship going. And one of them is eating with them. So like, you know, even before when I was, when we were just dating, you know, I try to go out and like, it's fun to go to eat restaurants and stuff like that. We both love eating and we're all about that. So now she's like all about cooking.
I love that.
And I cook too. So don't get me wrong, but she's much better than me.
Okay. And we have to acknowledge that. Sometimes we have to acknowledge when we're just not as good.
I'm not as good. Yeah. She's
we just
better.
Have to be honest. It's
just how it is. Important. Yeah.
That's just,
yeah.
That's what it is.
She does everything.
And you're here, but you're swaggy.
I'm swaggy. And
candy, maybe. I don't know.
I do work out quite a bit. So that's why I try, you know, I'm wearing the tight t-shirts all the time. I do think about that. I'm like, you know, I got to at least do that, you know? Come on.
Mm-hmm. You have to bring something.
I got to bring something to the table for.
She's brought delicious dumplings. So what are you bringing?
Yeah. I have to be a delicious dumpling also. That's
yes,
the
you
thing.
Also have to be a delicious dumpling for hey. Sure. I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of like finding some shared interest with a partner is so mm-hmm. important. Like and eating is definitely a good one for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love entertainment. Like I like seeing shows and movies and like going out to things. So it's always really important to me that whoever I'm dating wants to do that kind of.
Yes.
Like event-based activity with me.
Yes.
Like I'm not someone who wants to stay home all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I 100% agree. Like you gotta generally like to do. Like for example, if we go on vacation, we're like almost on the mm-hmm. exact same page as far as like we want to go shopping and then we want to check out this like this cool bar and then we want to go to this mm-hmm. cheesy bar, but only so we can make fun of everybody at the bar. I'm like, yeah, that's like. That's one of the big things. That's how she and I bonded was like we would like sit at the bar and just like smack talk everyone else in the bar. Just like look at that person's bad shoes. Oh man, hating on stuff brings people together, dude. Oh,
it really
it's
does.
The best. It's the best.
You're an
we
enemy.
Still do it. Yeah, she's like, well, look how terrible that you know her purse is with her, and I'm just like, yeah, her purse sucks. It's the best we make out after that.
Okay, I'm scared to just be at the same restaurant as you at any point. Remind me not to go to the one that you're at.
Exactly.
Just in case. This brought up a question for me that I then lost. Oh, how does she feel about your stand-up lifestyle? Because you weren't doing that when you first started dating. So did that change anything?
So that is tough. And it's funny because I was just, you know, we've been in the – you guys call it the panini? The panini?
Panini, the pandemic, the
Panera bread.
Panda replay.
Being stuck in a Panera bread does feel like a pandemic. Yeah, I understand. Because I've been there trying to connect to the Wi-Fi and it's just not working. So, So it's funny because I was looking through my old, you know, I used to put all my on my stories, all the shows I had for that month mm-hmm. or whatever, right? You know, there'd be some, you know, just like you, Jenny, like there'd be some weeks where I have two or three at night or whatever, or I have like a bunch, you know, in a row throughout the week. And I was like thinking about it because now I'm home all the time. And mm-hmm. when I had these shows that would be out, I'd be out until not that late, you know, on a weeknight, maybe like 10 or 11. And mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, you know, that I come right home and then I'm going to sleep because we have to go to our day jobs or whatever. And I was like, shit, I was like never around. And so I did try to like balance that because you know, again, relationships really are just like, it's a lot of FaceTime. You just like, just put the time in and it's just kind of like comedy, you know? So I had to kind of balance that out. And she's always been supportive of it. So she's been to so many shows.
Aww.
And she honestly has like a pretty good gauge of comedy now, you know, mm-hmm. cause she's been to so many, she's been to so many terrible ones. She's seen so many terrible comics. And she can now kind of like, she has a really strong, smart opinion about comedy. She knows that I'm like a creative weirdo.
Yeah. You
know? She knows that if I didn't do this, I'd be off like making a documentary about like pelicans or something. So mm-hmm. she tolerates it. I mean, she supports it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not gone for, you know, too long, too many days in a row or something. And I don't do a lot of road work, you know, I probably only done that a few times in my whole career. So that I'm trying not to do like things where I'm like, I'm going on tour for 6 weeks.
Right. And I'm like away forever and I'll never
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You know, and hey, don't worry. I'm getting paid upwards of $20 each time. You know, like, come on, buddy.
So
you know,
worth it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm getting drink tickets for us and the family.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry, honey. We got so many drink tickets. Okay, get the kimchi out. It's gonna be good. Yeah, it's bad. So yeah.
That's actually something that Matthew Broussard said too when he came on the podcast, that he really has to balance how much time he's performing and when he's prioritizing like at home.
Yes.
Like quality time.
Yes.
With his girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we're doing stuff that's not comedy, I'm like really trying not to, you know, maybe trying to be real present or something. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, just kind of the flip side is I think it actually makes me better at comedy because I don't think about it so much and I'm not, I'm not like always in it, you know? So I go away for a little bit. I kind of reset. I come back. And it could be really nice. And we actually on our honeymoon, we went to Japan and Korea and it was awesome. And I did comedy out there and it was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. And what was really cool about it was I did a show and then right after the show was at, was in Gangnam, you know, Gangnam Style is the song and that's where it is. And it's a very, cool young like place. And right after the show, we walked down the street to this awesome bar and it was like, it was an awesome like way to experience the city, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing when I did a show in Japan and all the people were like, oh, go, yeah, check out this thing. Like, you know, when you're done with the show, check out this like this bar here or go to this street here. Again, that's it was awesome. An awesome way to experience the city. So it was cool.
That's really cool. And that's got to be so badass too to be on a honeymoon and like, yeah, like, yeah, I'm performing, whatever. I'm a stand-up.
Yeah, yeah like... it was like the best of both worlds, I guess. And it was fun and it was a nice thing to see. And, you know, like as much as she, I think, she's always like, why do you do comedy? You're not funny. You know, she always says that to my face. But of course, I know she secretly is laughing at my jokes. And then she gets pissed when other people aren't laughing. She's like, that joke was funny. You guys are idiots. And I was like, yes, this is my, this is a down bitch, man. Hell yeah.
So. I love that. Do you ever practice jokes on her or you would never?
No, I do. There used to be a thing where if I did a joke and she didn't laugh, I knew it was going to work. And then there was also a time where if I did a joke and she laughed, I was like, it's not going to work. There's just something. Now it's a little different. Now I'm like, I can say something or she can see me say something and she'll be like, oh, you should try this. You know, again, it's become like much more nuanced because she sees exactly like, oh, I, you know, before it's not just about the content. It's also about like, how do you think that audiences will take it, you know? And from seeing so many shows, she understands like the dynamic of doing comedy on stage is like there's a certain thing to it. So she knows what that is.
That's cool. It's kind of nice that she, or very nice that she's so ingrained in like what your world is like and can actually be an asset and help you.
Yeah.
And take you out of it. That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's freaking cool. And also, did you ever in your life have to be on the dating apps or no, you fully missed?
No, them? I was, so when, you know, we were getting together, that was at the time when people were starting to get on the apps and it was like, if you met someone through the apps, it was unusual and it was a little bit like, kind of weird
shady,
there.
Like, oh, you met on Tinder. Okay.
But it wasn't like, you're a complete psychopath, you know, you're like a total weirdo. You're basically, you know, a troll or something. So it was getting better. And also we didn't have like apps. We had like match.com, you know, where it was like basically MySpace with dating. So you had to like fill out this thing and you had to check the notes
and
stuff like that.
The whole profile.
Yes, exactly.
It was like a lot of work.
Yes, it was a lot more work. It was a lot more like web 3.0 rather than like an app where you were doing. So I completely missed the apps and I'm glad because I think I'm a hottie. I look great in this camera, but I just don't think I would translate in the app like that. You know, I got inner beauty, you know, so that's
Are you good at texting? Are you charming over text?
No, I don't think so because I don't even know what you mean. Do you know? Okay. I didn't even know that was a thing. Is that a thing?
Yeah,
you
can
be
thing.
Good at really.
Yeah, you can be good at texting. Yeah, banter over text is so important, and that's a lot of dating these days.
Really? I mean, what makes a good banter or on text?
Because you don't meet in person right away, and this is like was even true before the pandemic. You spend a bit of time like talking either in the app or on text outside of the app before you meet up. Okay. And then there's a whole period of time if you've been on one date where you might have like a week in between the first date and the second date where the communicating you're doing is probably over text, maybe every couple days, maybe not every day. So like text banter becomes kind of important early on in relationships.
But
Andrew,
is it like,
right? Like,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you need to have, it's like, it's, you're testing out like material. It's like, you have to like come prepared with like a very thought out response.
Really?
And it's like, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because so, like if you like send like, oh, I'm just eating dinner, it's like, oh, like I'm da 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 da. Like,
really?
To think
yes. Past, and you got to be funny and cute over text to keep people's attention because you're competing against all of these other people who are just like little like AI robot people in the app until you meet them in person, you know?
It's a game.
It's a game. It's a little game. So
yeah, Jenny and you, Andrew, like are you the same way on text as you are, say, like right now and or on stage? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you want to bring that energy or do you have to kind of like turn up or turn it down or be different?
Yeah, like performing like on energy, definitely. Mm-hmm. And really? My performing on energy is kind of the same as my like on this podcast or in life energy. So, you know, my texts sound like me. They're like, you know, using like quirky words and lots of exclamation points and emojis. And like, it sounds like me, but I am trying to be like funny and quippy if I'm like dating, like flirting with someone for the first time over text.
Got it.
I think it turns down over time potentially, but like, but yeah.
No, but I love a phone call so much more. Mm-hmm. There's so much emphasis on like a good text message. Obviously, I have a problem with texting people back on time.
Right.
As well.
We've heard. Yeah. So, like, okay.
It's an issue, but like as long as like when you have them on the line, you know, I love that so much more.
But yeah, I'm like looking back. I'm like, I'm like trying to find my Hinge. I haven't been in Hinge in a hot second because I do have a boyfriend now.
It's just like, I always feel like there's just so much, like every single person in the world has become a content creator. And like, it's just so much work and nobody's getting paid for any of it. You know, I know you're supposed to, you maybe eventually get paid in dick, but like, you know, hey, that's not a great return on investment for like some fire lines, you know?
Right. So, for being totally a social media manager, basically.
Yes, exactly.
App. Like I'm writing so much copy here.
Yes, like, exactly.
Fire copy and maybe I'll get a dick and hopefully I won't get murdered. But that's what I'm getting.
Damn.
Either day or I'm getting murdered. Like what is this? This man puts like, are we getting a dog? Is pick a topic of conversation. And I'm like, what kind of dog do you want? There are unfortunately wrong answers. And then he says, a Shiba. And that's all he tells me. And then I'm like, okay, I'm bored.
Right.
I'm bored now. Yeah. It's done.
Damn.
It's over.
Oh, man.
Even though that's a cute dog, but you didn't have anything else to say.
Right. You got to, okay. Jeez. Oh, that's brutal.
Right?
Well, maybe I would be better at that. I'm generally better at writing, but you know, it's that's a lot of stress, you know.
I know.
That's a lot of stress.
It is a lot of stress. It feels like kind of like weird, like literally like video game like pressure.
Yes.
So maybe it's fun for some people who like that, but that ain't me, babe.
Yeah.
That ain't me.
Right.
I wonder, Mike, did you bring us a receipt?
Anything? So I do have some receipts. I have a receipt as far as like texts that I sent, you know, between me and my wife. And I have an actual DM slide. So
wow.
People, I don't know which one you want.
I want to hear them all.
Okay. Okay. So
we got time. Let's hear it.
Okay. So I don't know how it's going to work. So I sent my wife a So I was away, and I was at there's been all this terrible, like, you know, Asian anti-Asian violence. So there was a rally, and it was awesome to see the community come together. But I went alone. My wife wasn't feeling well, and I was feeling cute. So I, like, I had my hat, my glasses. I basically look like this, and I sent a picture of myself, like a selfie, and I said, "Sending you a thirst trap," right?
Okay.
And I don't know, like, I don't know how dudes in their I guess dudes in their 30s send thirst traps, like, usually with their shirt off, but that's not me. The more stuff I have on, the better I look. So I was like, yes, sending you a thirst trap.
Also, your style. Okay.
Yeah. And then since my wife was, you know, she's feeling under the weather, she replied, "How'd you know I'm thirsty?" And and then I replied, "Hey, hey, hey, you mean?" And then I sent her a peach emoji. And then she says, "Is that supposed to be your buns?" And I was like, "Yes, my buns." So we have this also thing. I got a pretty good butt for a dude. I do a lot of squats and kettlebell. So she's always talking about how my butt's too big for her. So she was sure that was kind of like our little fun flirtation.
He likes to nag you.
Oh, my God. Cute. Constantly. She's Korean.
This
Korean
lady's
people,
nagging you.
So good at this just all day long. Yeah, but it's great. It's like a fun, I mean, you know, so then
That was very cute married flirting.
It was cute. Really and cute, also, I knew to bring sweet. Her some water. Yeah, exactly. So
you,
it was like,
and you brought her water? That's good.
Exactly.
That's a really good husband.
You know, got to keep up homeostasis. So that was my flirting thing. And a lot of our texts are like combination, like very mundane, but then also like, "Where are you? I had a really, really nasty fart and I wanted you to smell it." And you're like, she's like, "Gross." And I'm like, "Yeah." And, like, you know, it's like, it's silly, but that's what's fun about it.
But sweet.
So, yeah.
I feel like if you were single just dating, you might have sent her an actual picture of your ass and not just a peach emoji.
That's true. Yes.
And I think that's the difference.
Do people like that? I can never tell. Yes.
I like boy butts.
Okay. Okay.
I like boy butts, but I do think that men have a harder time sending a good nude than women do.
Yes. Why is that? Because of men just don't know how to do it, or
I think, like,
else?
straight men knowing how to take good pictures and the angles. And yes. Also, I think women's bodies are objectively just very beautiful.
Right.
So it's just harder. It's harder to get the pic you want, I think.
Okay. Okay, yeah, see?
It's my opinion. I don't know.
No, that makes absolute sense. Yes. I mean, you know, again, you know, everybody here is a... Now we're all content creators with our own bodies. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's good
it's
stuff.
True. But I would say, I don't know. I like a good boy butt, for sure.
Okay, okay. Okay, great.
For sure.
Well,
just putting that out in the universe.
Okay, great. I mean, yeah. I'll have my wife tell you how good it is. So how about that?
Okay, yeah. Please have her send me...
Attack
the description.
Yeah.
Like a very, very wordy description.
A very, very wordy description. Exactly.
Yeah. I want like a 100 character count description.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not even anatomical. It's just, it's like allegory. It's, you know?
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Imagine the hills and valleys of Georgia, you know? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, okay, a slide into the DMs, Mike?
Oh, yeah. So I never have a DM slide ever. I think it's because almost all my comedy sets usually involve me mentioning I'm married or talking about my wife. So I never have a DM slide. The co-host of my podcast, Fumi Abe,
he
has plenty.
He's a friend
who we love.
Of the show.
He's great. He's great. He's great. And he gets a lot of DM slides. And so, which is totally cool. And so people never slide into my DMs. The only time people slide into my DMs is they want to ask about career advice or something like that. Or like, you know, "Hey, as a creative person, you know, what do you think I should do with this and that?" That's the only,
like, pay me to consult you. Pay me.
Yes, exactly. You want from one content creator to another, you know, you got to hook it up. Here's my PayPal.
Yeah.
So, so once somebody, I did like a corporate show, like on Zoom. And the person was like, "Hey, I saw you at the comedy event today and wondering if you knew of any realtors because I'm trying to make a move," smiley face.
Ah!
And then I know. And then in my mind, I was like, "Yo, this person's trying to move to New York City. I get it. Hustle." You know, I didn't even know this was a DM slide. And then I was like, "Move to New York City?" Question mark. And then
no!
She goes, "Ha, sorry for the confusion. I was just trying to slide into your DMs because I thought you were cute and funny." and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, haha, I'm married, blah, blah. You know, so she was there. It was very PG. G,
very
really.
PG. But honestly, yeah. What a good opening line.
That was good.
That was cute. I like it. Andrew, do you like it?
Yeah, so I didn't know where they were going. Me I was like, either. A realtor. I'm like, okay.
Right.
Yeah,
trying to make moves, you know? I don't know. Are those kind of openers? It's like still like, you know, like kind of wordplay openers. Are those okay still?
I guess so. No one's ever done that to me. I don't think I've ever gotten a one-liner like that. And I really liked it from this girl. But maybe I like it because I know she's a cute girl and she means no harm.
I see. Yes.
So maybe I like it more, but
yes.
Funny.
Yeah. So it was cool. Yeah. Nice. I immediately showed my wife. I was like, oh, check this out. I got a DM slide. And she's like, good job. Yeah. You're still got it. You know, I was like, yeah. You know, she gave me a lollipop after. I was like, yay.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That was just to prevent a fight from happening.
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cheese It hit me in the face. I was like, okay. I got it. But yeah, it was fun.
That's really cute. I love it. Cheers and kudos to that girl, wherever she may be. I'm wishing her that she successfully got into someone's DM.
I think so. But if she does need realtor advice, you know, I can call my uncle. So, you know, either way she wins.
You got her either way.
Good stuff.
So, Mike, we play this little game on the pod. It's kind of the last thing that we're going to do. And do you feel ready for a little game?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. It's called Quick and Dirty. I'm going to ask you four quick questions, and you just answer them the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
So, favorite flirty emoji?
Ooh, the squirty water thing. That's just...
Really?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's just so basic. It's just like, yeah, got it. Wet.
That's it. Don't have to think about it. Wet. Okay.
Yeah, sweat. I don't even know what it is. Yeah, cool. Hydration. Yeah.
Read receipts, yes or no? Read receipts.
No. Way too much pressure. Also, read receipts don't exist in real life. There's no analog for that. Okay? Doesn't exist. If you know, nobody gets a notification if you read the article, you know, say it just disappears. That's it.
Best thing the thing that makes you happiest that your wife does.
She is best thing that she does that makes me happiest. Oh man. She has this really dismissive face she does sometimes. Not even like a resting bitch face, a true dismissive face that she does sometimes. Sometimes to me, sometimes to other people. Always awesome. Always awesome.
Every time.
It's just like, she's just like, I'm better than you and you know it. And the fact that you don't know it shows how much better I am than you. Best.
I love it. Okay. And best date.
Best date.
Yeah. Best date.
You mean best date that's ever really happened?
Yeah. Tell me the best date that's ever happened. I kind of meant like best thing to do on a date potentially. Oh. I want to know the best date that's ever happened.
Best date that's ever happened.
Best date.
Oh man. You know, I mean, I think maybe it's just because it was top of mind, but you know, the day I got engaged was an awesome date. You know, I think that should be a thing. You know, don't do the cheesy dance before you ask someone to get married, or you know, get engaged and then do something fun. You know, do some Molly and just hang out at the park. Just chill,
do
baby.
Do some Molly, put glitter on your face, go clubbing.
Boom! That's done. Love. I don't know. You know, come on.
I love that. Amazing. And that was quick and dirty. And Mike, you've been such a fun guest. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for listening to my crap.
I loved your crap. None of it was crap.
No, thank you so much. Shouts to the... thank you. Thank you to you and to Andrew and to the good people at Cheez-Its. Checks on the way. So, you know, for them, for us, because we've sold at least 3 or 4 boxes today. Trust me.
Absolutely. And Mike, everyone who's listening absolutely needs to follow you. How do they do that?
Find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro. And also check out my podcast, Asian Not Asian Podcast. It's on all the platforms anywhere. And just search for it and you'll be there. And it's good times. This is
such good times. This has been so much fun. And again, listeners, I'm just going to ask you, if you love it, rate it, review it. If you're not subscribed, what are you doing? Who even are you? what are you doing with your life if you're not subscribed? We give you so much. We give you good gossip. We give you relationship advice. You all are getting engaged. You're getting new haircuts and you're getting out of the friend zone. And we love that.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hair matters. Hair matters so much. Or no hair. We're the one. Yeah.
And this was Receipts.
This has been Receipts, a dating podcast with evidence. Hosted by Jenny Gorlick.
And produced by Andrew McGuire.
Make sure to follow us on social media. I'm at Jenny Sequa, JenNyCestQuoi on Instagram and at Jenny Gorlick on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Instagram at McGuiguy at MCGUI_GUI.
The cover art is by Megan Patzel. The theme song is written by Dylan Adler, sung by Chenno Pinter, and produced by Douglas Wittig. Check out full videos on YouTube and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And make sure you subscribe. If you need dating advice, we'd love to help you out. Send us a DM to @receiptspod.